This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Your sports update from One Bills Drive. Bills back on the practice field, practicing indoors. So no news on the players on the injury report until the updated injury report is released later this afternoon. Among the new additions to the injury report that came out Tuesday were Tremaine Edmonds and Ed Oliver. Both players were limited in practice on Tuesday. Defensive end Darryl Johnson missed practice with a knee injury. The Seahawks are in the market for a new offensive coordinator. Seattle parted ways with OC Brian Schottenheimer, who has been Seattle's offensive coordinator since 2018. Now Seattle will try to find a coordinator who can run an offense that makes the most of Russell Wilson's skill set. Philadelphia Eagles have a vast list of candidates for their head coaching vacancy, including a former All-Pro New England linebacker, Gerard Mayo. Former New England linebacker Gerard Mayo. Mayo spent eight seasons with the Patriots as a player, the last two as an inside linebackers coach. This will be the first head coaching interview for Mayo, who has played an integral role in the Patriots defense, allowing the fewest points per game in the NFL over the past two seasons. And hockey is back. The NHL officially gets underway as their 56-game schedule faces off tonight with five games on the slate. Sabres begin their season tomorrow night when they host the Washington Capitals at the KeyBank Center. Buffalo's roster now set following the announcement of players assigned to their taxi squad. Five players include forwards Rasmus Asplund, Casey Mittelstadt, defenseman Will Borgen, and Brandon Davidson, along with goaltender Jonas Johansson. That is your sports update. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, hour number two of the program, as we are going to the phone lines and your phone calls as you tell us what you believe to be the X factor in this divisional playoff game, both for the Ravens and for the Bills, and you can't pick the two quarterbacks. I mean, those two guys are obviously the quintessential pieces of each team. So who's going to be the X factor, or what is going to be the X factor? Maybe it's sound fundamental tackling for the Bills to limit the gains when they do run the football. Could be anything your heart desires. So we go back to the phones, and we go to Brett in Rochester to lead us off this segment. Brett, what do you have for us?
Yeah, gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. Start off with the X factors. Number one, from Baltimore's standpoint, you're looking at their running back core, Dobbins and Gus. They've got to really figure out what's going on with our line if they're going to have any penetration to get more than about, you know, 2-3 yards of play. Again, if we can hold them to 2 to 3 yards of play, that's going to force Lamar to use his feet. And I think all the practice we do with Josh Allen, we're going to figure him out pretty quickly. So that's really the crux of helping out, is figuring out their running backs. And from a Bill standpoint, there's only one name I need, Matt Milano. He is absolutely 100% going to be the X factor for the Bills on defense, and is going to help out a defensive line even more, making the tackles and making his presence known. One other thing I did want to mention, Steve, you mentioned very early on, you talked about the Wichita Wind. Believe it or not, I want to tie it back to One Buffalo with hockey starting tonight. Their second season was coached by none other than John Muckler.
And oh, there you go.
Ended up going to jail one night after they had about 20 fighting penalties in a game.
Steve wasn't lying.
See, now that I've just been notified too through social that the Wichita, the hockey team in Wichita is now called the Wichita Thunder.
So, awesome.
Yeah. So Thanks. It was. Yeah. But yep. That's great. Yeah. You might be right because it was an Oilers organization. Muckler, you know, he came up
Muckler,
with those guys. So there you go.
That would make sense.
It was in 82 is the year I'm thinking about is when I first started watching them. I mean, it was a year or two before that they actually started. So there you go. Yeah. The Wichita Wind.
Good times in minor
good
league hockey.
Good times, man. I'm telling you.
Back to the phones. We go to Ryan in Orchard Park. Ryan, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
I think I have a lot of trust in our offense to always put us in scoring positions and chances to get some points. So I think the X factor really comes down to Tyler Bass. He's been like great the last stretch of the season. When it comes down to playoffs, you got to make all those extra points and those field goals to win games. We saw it last week against the Colts with Blankenship missing that important field goal, which ultimately led to them trying to go for a Hail Mary instead of a game-tying field goal. So I think I have a lot of trust in Josh Allen and our offense, and as long as Bass can make his points, I think we'll have no problem down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, we also got to look at that other side of the field, though. I mean, they've got one heck of a kicker, probably the best in the league for the last 5 years, in Justin Tucker. I know he missed one last week, but then came back and hit a 51-yarder.
Yeah, he won't come due to miss another one, you know, until next season.
The caller before that was talking about Buffalo's run defense. Now, last year was last year, and this defense is in stark contrast to what they were last year. They did a good job against the run. I mean, they held the Ravens to 3.6 yards a carry. And they ran it 33 times and only had 118 yards and no touchdowns on the ground. So they did their job against the run. Lamar just got a little loose in and around the red zone to buy time to throw short touchdown pass. He had the one long touchdown pass for 61 yards to Hayden Hurst, but then he had the two short ones in around and near the goal line. And it was the difference in the game. They win by 7 because, let me see here. Yeah, 4-yard pass. And what was the other one? 3-yard pass. Yeah. Boyle and Snead were the two short touchdown passes. Yeah. So
And it's interesting, too. I was going through the notes for this. These two guys, these two quarterbacks, and we know it. I mean, we were watching Josh for whatever, however long we've been watching him. And same thing with Lamar. I mean, the guy was the MVP last year. Let's just see. I'm going to go there. Here we go. In their careers, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson's careers, they have they've combined for 88 touchdown passes, 0 red zone interceptions. Zero.
That's pretty good. That might be the stat of the week.
88 touchdown passes between the two of them. 0 red zone interceptions for both of them. It's unbelievable.
That's impressive.
And also we've been talking too about you talk about these quarterbacks Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and of course the 2018 draft. Three of those guys are in this playoffs. Baker
on the AFC side.
Baker, Lamar, and Josh, and of course then Mahomes is the 17 draft. So all together in the AFC. All these players have 11 combined postseason starts. In the NFC, you want to take a guess?
Oh, my God. It's like, I'm going to say 75.
82.
Yeah, that was close.
Brady has 42 playoff starts. Rodgers, 19. Brees, 17. And Goff has 4.
Good Lord. Talk about a dichotomy there.
Yeah.
That's one of them.
Let's
go back to the phones. We go to Jody in Buffalo. Jody, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Yeah, I read in the paper, I was at the game, and I missed this, but there were three plays, as I understand, that were run with no time left on the clock.
Yeah, by the Colts.
Yeah, and there were touchdowns involved, if I understand correctly. And I've seen this periodically throughout the league. Now, I know, like in the NBA, when you have a time clock ends, a buzzer goes off. Now, I can't imagine, maybe it's because I'm paranoid, because just being a Bills fan, I can imagine being in the Super Bowl, no time left, 2 seconds later, they score the winning touchdown. It's the worst-case scenario. But I can see this happening, and it's happening throughout the league. Isn't there any way feasible where maybe sometime in the future where if they're running a play in something, an alarm or some kind of buzzer goes off? But thank you. I'll hang up.
Yeah, here's the thing. You're right. It happens a lot in that it goes to zero and the ball is snapped. Goes to zero, the ball is snapped. Goes to zero and the ball is snapped. It's not the ball is snapped and it goes to zero. It's the opposite.
Yeah.
So what they tell, and the league has made it known to all the coaches and the offensive coordinators and the defensive coordinators, everybody knows. They don't want any penalties like that. If you're going to use the whole play clock, you can use the whole play clock, no question. And what they'll ask the guy to do, the guy that's in charge of it is the official facing the quarterback on the defensive side. Obviously,
back, back judge, right?
That or the field judge. I don't know if he's the back judge or the field judge. Might be the back judge. The back judge, he's facing the quarterback. He's in the middle of the field looking at everything.
So he can see the quarterback and the play
clock. What he does is watches the play clock. When the play clock goes to zero, he moves his eyes to the ball. If he moves his eyes, the ball's still there, then it's snapped. It's a penalty. But if he moves, if it goes to zero, then the ball is snapped, and he looks down for the ball, and it's already been snapped. It's okay. And that's what you see happen a lot. There's no question.
That like, human delay element.
Yes. It's like a half-second delay before they'll call a penalty. And that's and whatever that delay is the gray area that the caller's talking about. And I don't – you're not going to get that changed because that's the way the football guys want it. They want the quarterback – offensive coordinators want the quarterback to use every single second he can. They're trying to maximize it. And the league lets them do that. So – I get it. Technically speaking, you are absolutely right. It should have been a penalty on a couple of those plays. But if they had been, if they're going to call that like that, it wouldn't have happened because Rivers will just snap it. You know, they the quarterbacks let it go that as long as they can possibly go, knowing they're going to get away with it. So if they changed it and they were not going to let them do it by this time in the regular season, they'd all be used to it, and Phillip Rivers would be snapping it with 1 second or zero on the clock, and that was it. So he did it because he's used to doing it as a player, and that's what the league allows him to do. So that's you wouldn't have gotten that penalty in a normal game, and you're certainly not going to get it in the playoffs like this because that's the way the league wants it run.
To
and,
Al,
and as long as they call it the same all the time, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm not convinced they will, though.
Right. There's a it's
because you're talking
area.
About different guys it's on a, different crews.
It's a gray area, yeah. No question. It's a gray area.
To Al in Buffalo we go. Al, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hi, guys. I think John Brown's the X factor. I think the offense runs a lot smoother when he's more productive. And I have a question for you guys. All week, you know, it just seems like the tone on all the radio shows is Baltimore, this big, bad Baltimore team. I looked at their schedule. They have one quality win. They feasted on the NFC East. They feasted on their own division. They beat Houston. We're the two seed. We have a legitimate 14 wins.
Yep. I
kind of get the feeling that we're terrified of this team.
That terrified might be a little strong, Al, but I get what you're saying.
I think
on the part of the fan base, I think there is a healthy respect for Baltimore because they have perennially been in contention. And we can't forget this was a 14-2 team last year. Now, they kind of lost their way in the middle of the season. I think they lost three straight in the middle of the season and then ripped
Lamar
off.
Lamar had COVID.
Right, Lamar had COVID. He was out of the lineup, and then they ripped off 5 wins to finish the year. You're 100% right. Their strength of schedule was not as strong as the Bills. I would venture to argue that the Bills have the more explosive offense than Baltimore does. But I think playoff football is a little bit different. And sometimes in playoff football, you have to get a little down and dirty. And I think most people are of the honest opinion that Baltimore is probably the grimier of the two teams here. They'll play smash-mouth football on both sides of the ball and not blink. They welcome it, as a matter of fact. That if you ask me, I think that's the kind of game they want to play.
Yeah.
So that's all the more reason why the Bills have to be who they are and light them up in the air. That's what you got to do. Because that's not who they are. They are not the get down and dirty, grime it up, you know, muck it up kind of team. That's not who the Bills are this year.
Yeah, now the Ravens, you can say what you want about who they played, but they kind of finished like the season like the Bills did. They got 5 straight wins. They won by 17, and then they got into a tussle with the Browns and won by 5. They won by 26, by 14, and by 35. So they finished with a flurry, but they played the Bengals, the Giants, the Jaguars and the Cowboys were four out of those last five games. So you would expect them to go at least 4-1 if the Browns could have beaten them. But, yeah, that's not a gauntlet like the Bills played. The Bills, and I'll remind you of who the Bills played, they went down a stretch where they played the Patriots, the Seahawks, the Cardinals, then the Chargers, the Niners, the Steelers, and then the Patriots again after the Broncos. I mean, that we were hoping they'd go 3-2 in that five game stretch. They went 4-1 and lost the fifth one on a Hail Mary.
Yeah.
The Bills are rolling, and their strength of schedule is the most difficult in the National Football League left in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the biggest concern on the part of Bills fans, just from all the people we've heard from to this point in the week, is there's a genuine concern that the Bills can't match the physical power and strength of the Ravens. And so if it turns into that kind of a game, I think that's what has Bills fans concerned. Now, I still maintain it's a coin flip game. Baltimore is good enough to win this game with their own identity and what it is. So are the Bills. Bills are just as equipped to win this game as the Ravens are. The big question is, how is it going to unfold? Who's going to deliver the big plays? Who's going to be the X factor? Who's going to be the difference maker? Because it's almost like these two quarterbacks cancel each other out a little
Steve. It's a matchup game. This offense for the Ravens is a bad matchup for the Bills. The strength of the Bills is their secondary. Well, they don't throw the ball. What's that good Zach going to do you?
Yeah.
The strength of the Ravens' defense is their corners. They lean on their corners. Yeah. They play man. Well, you can't do that against this team because they go deep.
Bills will eat you alive.
They eat you alive. Their quarterback's got a big, strong arm, and you got to defend the field sideline to sideline and from the line of scrimmage all the way to the back of the end zone, wherever it is on the field. And their offensive line is really good in pass pro. And they got a quarterback that'll escape and make it. So it's a bad matchup defensively for both these teams. So it's a question of who can be themselves better than the other team.
Yeah.
And, you know, and obviously all the other stuff that's sprinkled in, like who turns it over, what kind of field position.
Yeah, who can put their identity stamp on this game.
Right. Who makes a play out of the blue? Like, do you get a special teams play that forces a fumble, or do you get a missed field goal, or do you get a fumbled kickoff or a punt or something like that? You know, it's all the other stuff that goes into these games that affect the score and the team, whatever team's ability to do what they do, because now they're in a hole and they got to dig out, or now they got to protect a lead and they don't want to throw the football all over the yard.
Let's go to Lou in Lockport next. Lou, you're on One Bills Live. What do you have?
How do you like those Bills now? I mean, how exciting is this?
Yeah, hey, we're all enjoying it, right?
Oh, great football. I mean, you know, I think one of the X factors could be the weather, you know?
Could be.
You know, the Bills have been doing a lot of running. Josh has been running. I question, where is Antonio Williams in all this?
Well, I think he will be a consideration this week, Lou. I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, Coach McDermott, when asked about him, said he popped on tape when we watched that Week 17 game back. He was explosive, and the Bills don't really have an explosive back on their active roster. You know, Antonio Williams is still on their practice squad now. They could call him up. They could activate him on game day. He could see some action. Here's the thing. Historically, Sean McDermott, when he's faced with these kinds of decisions, more often than not, goes with the player he trusts the most. And I would venture to say that he probably trusts T.J. Yeldon more because he's seen more of him in game situations. Now, I know people are going to bring up the fact that T.J. Yeldon has fumbled in his time with the Bills. Yes, that is true. So did Devin Singletary in his rookie year. And he was able to fix that. I don't know. While I do believe Antonio Williams is talented, I had him listed as a sleeper in training camp back in the summer. I liked him. In this spot, a divisional playoff, you know, where it's win or go home, and you've seen all of a half of football from this kid, I don't know if that's enough of a body of work to say, We're going to ride him in this game a little bit and have him kind of take the load off of Devin Singletary.
I don't know. You've seen a very recent half of football against a really good defense, although they had kind of checked out a little bit in Miami. But you've seen him play more recently than you've seen T.J. Yeldon play.
Valid.
And you've got to also watch him practice every single day in practice. So it's not like he's dropping out of the – this isn't Devontae Freeman we're talking about.
Yeah.
Also – and Lou asked, he goes, where's Antonio Williams? What's he going to – well, you're not going to know. Sean McDermott is not going to tell you what he's going to do until 90 minutes before the game. So we won't know if Antonio Freeman is even really in the mix until we see him out there taking snaps. And that's the way Sean McDermott wants it. So you can say, why isn't this happening? Well, it's not happening because they don't want anybody to know if it's happening or not.
And
it's
not
gamesmanship.
And I'm not saying
– I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that's the way it is. So don't get impatient.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it can't happen or it won't happen. Just going off of past history, my inclination is it will probably be Yeldon, but I don't think that's a lock, I guess is what I'm saying.
You get what you earn, and I think it's really interesting that Antonio Williams got snaps in Week 17. Why not? T.J.
Well, he was on the COVID list.
Oh, that's right.
That's why T.J.
Yeah, that's a good question. We'll never know that, whether it was that because of that.
Well, He wasn't eligible.
How much Antonio Williams would have played even if T.J. Yeldon
would have happened at all.
We may not know anything about Antonio. So that's the interesting thing about the whole scenarios. We don't know how that played out and why, whether it was totally COVID or whether Antonio Williams was, you know, certainly he was ready when his name was called. The guy played great. So we're not going to know, and that's exactly the way the Bills want it.
Let's go to Sonny in Orchard Park. Sonny, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking the call. Love the show.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to just call in what I thought about the X-Factor is actually a group. You know, we know that our offense can score basically at will against good defenses. We've seen it all year. What concerns me, though, is the misdirection and the RPOs coming out of the Ravens' backfield. So I think our linebackers are going to be really important this week. You know, they've got the speed to match up with Milano and Edmonds, but, you know, react too quickly and you're in a bad position and we're not react fast enough and you're still in that same bad position. So I think that their awareness and just jumping at the right times is going to be really important this week. So I'll see what you guys think. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, that's a valid point. You're not the first person to bring it up, and I think it's bang on. Steve, talk to us about how challenging it is to balance being aggressive and getting to your landmarks, but also fundamentally breaking down to tackle in a sound fashion against players that you know, Lamar Jackson, chief among them, are quicker and faster than you. Like, how do you balance the aggressiveness of getting to your landmark, getting to your spot on your assigned play, and still fundamentally tackling in a sound way?
That's why Baltimore is so good at what they do. They're averaging 260 a game on the ground over these last six games. They're averaging 260 yards rushing a game over the last six.
They have 889 rushing yards in their last three games.
They're a juggernaut.
It's ridiculous.
And here's the reason is this. Their offensive line is extremely well coached, and they're very good and talented. And their running backs are exactly what they are. And, of course, their quarterback is the ultimate weapon. But what they also are able to do is to get you looking and thinking they're going one way when they've got an ability to go the other way right in front of you. So what this is, and I saw the Bills defense do this a year ago, when the Ravens came out and did that. Like Trent Murphy was on the field, Shaq Loss was on the field, Jordan Phillips was on the field. These guys had a real ability to just sit still and not let the misdirection decide their discipline. If they had the third receiver on the boundary side, they didn't move until that receiver went. They didn't follow him. They didn't get their eye. They didn't watch the run go the other way. They stayed with the guy they were supposed to be covering. That is an incredibly important aspect of playing defense against this Ravens team. If you've got this receiver over here, you guard that receiver. You're not going to make the tackle over there. So don't chase it. Stay here because the ball may well be getting thrown back to the guy. Same thing on the backside of a running play. they'll have a motion where a guy will come down underneath and come back the other way on an inside handoff or a pitch play on the end of round. They do that thinking you're going to chase Lamar, and that's just it. You don't chase him. You wait for him to come into your area, and you understand where your help is. So if you're, say, for instance, if you're A.J. Epenesa and you're on the backside and you're on the line of scrimmage, you get up the field, you can't chase down the line to try and keep Lamar.
Because now you lose your leverage.
Because now Lamar's just going to run around you on the outside. So what you do is you stay there, and you get up the field. If he starts to come back towards you, you go up. You don't go at him. You go up the field to make sure he has to cut inside of you or stay or go the other way.
Because that's where your help is.
That's where your teammates are. So you've got to – you hem him in and you tackle him when he runs to your arms, basically, rather than go and try and chase him and tackle him like a normal running back.
You lunge at him and he's by you.
That's right. You lunge at him and he's just going to step around you. So you have to have real discipline. You have to play real team defense, and you can't chase Lamar. You've got to let Lamar come to you into your area where you're defending and then try and tackle him in your area.
All right, break time for us, but more of your phone calls when we return. So let's make sure Tom in Brockport, Caden in Jamestown, Ted in Georgia, you guys hang tight. We'll get to you in the next segment as we're asking you, besides the quarterbacks, what's that number one X factor for the Bills? What's the number one X factor for the Ravens on Saturday night when they kick off the divisional playoff? They're painting the logos on the field, Steve.
Yes, they are.
They're painting the...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Playoff logos as we speak. We'll be back with more here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker, One Bills Live, Wednesday edition. We'll get to the tweet sheet in a moment, but we got people waiting at 803-0550. So we go there first, and to Caden in Jamestown to lead us off. He's been waiting the longest. Caden, what do you have for us?
Hey, guys. Great show. I'm just saying on the defensive part, we know that the secondary can knock down the receivers. The biggest part is not getting lost in the backfield, keeping your eyes not looking at the action with, like, the misdirections and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, eye discipline, right.
Yeah.
And on the offensive ball, on the offensive side, just maintaining ball possession, no stupid turnovers, you know, just got to play one great game of football.
Yeah, no question about it, Caden. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, they didn't turn over last week. Actually, neither team did. It was a clean game from that perspective between the Bills and the Colts, and, you know, every week you strive not to turn the football over. We know that. But eye discipline, a lot of the defensive players, we're talking about that this week. A lot of the window dressing Greg Roman does. I mean, Brian Daboll does the same thing for that matter. But they dress up a lot of the same plays in different ways, and they get your eyes moving in the wrong places. I think Milano and Edmonds have had enough experience looking at that kind of stuff for the better part of the last 2 years. Not saying it's easy, but, you know, those read options that Lamar runs – you know, he'll pull it out at the last possible second. That's why, you know, as much as you were talking about what the linebackers have to do to almost kind of wait and catch Lamar instead of lunging at him, the ends are huge in this also in terms of holding their water and staying out there instead of crashing down. Because as soon as you take a step in, all you have to do is take one step inside when it looks like the read option's going to the back.
And he'll outrun
And he'll just pull it out, and now he's got you.
Yeah, it's a scary feeling, and you've got to have rules that you follow, discipline that you've got to maintain, and you know responsibilities that you're fully aware of. And you also have to know where your weaknesses are in those responsibilities. And one weakness is Lamar's speed that you've got to contend with. You can't give him any kind of leverage, and actually you have to kind of over-leverage him to the outside.
You have to overcompensate.
Right. And you have to, because if he gets around your edge, there's a corner and a receiver out there, and that's it. And inside of you, there's, you know, defensive linemen, all the other linebackers, everybody. There's everybody's inside. So you got to keep him in there and use your leverage as a because of that. So that's the issue. And we've heard a bunch of people say it, and it's true. It's going to be a matter of absolute 100% discipline defensively on the front to keep them hemmed in their running game, let alone the fact that you got to match up with them physically.
We go to Thomas in Brockport next. Thomas, what do you have for us?
Gentlemen, your show is outstanding. You're what's getting me through the pandemic, and I Flow Nation appreciates what you guys
do. We appreciate that.
About for your boredom. But I just wanted to say that, Chris, your articles are fantastic, and Steve, you're truly one of my favorite players. I loved you as a special teamer, but when you got out to play wide receiver, man, it made my day.
Yeah.
Reminded me of a guy named Lou Capone. He is just a great receiver for the team. Anyway, my concern is that the Bills may not play within themselves. I saw a little bit of hero ball from Josh on that touchdown that he shot putted, and that could have been a really dangerous play. And also the hero ball, just take the sack, baby. You know, that second go-through to try and get away from the defender cost him the ball. And it seemed to bleed into Andre Roberts a little bit coming out of the end zone instead of, when they kept getting stuck on the 7-yard line, he should have allowed a little bit of space to go, you know what, let's just get it at the 25 and go. For the Baltimore, I'm worried about the tight ends. It doesn't seem that we have good matchups there. And if you're looking for something to watch on TV, try The Good Place.
Okay.
Four-season comedy.
Is that with Kristen Bell or?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, and Ted Danson, I think.
The Good Place?
Yes, really delightful, good-feeling show.
All right, yeah. I'll take anything that's uplifting. Thanks for the call, Thomas. Appreciate it. I got to tell you, Steve, I was more concerned about the tight end matchups last year because they had three of them, two of whom scored touchdowns last year in that game. They really only rely on one now. I mean, it's really the Mark Andrews show. They traded away Hayden Hurst, who had the 61-yard touchdown last year. He's in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason Baltimore struggled out of the gate, because that three-headed monster at tight end was no longer there, and it made them easier to defend. Because the big problem last year when they had those three tight ends was, well, man, you got to put bigger guys on the field, because if those three tight ends come running at you to block – and you got safeties and corners trying to cover those guys, you're going to get run over. So now you got linebackers on the field, and now they go to the pass, and now they're beating you in the passing game.
Right. Yeah, Mark Andrews, Eric Tomlinson, you got to have an answer for, but Andrews is the guy that, you know, that seems to be the go-to, and they're both a load. So, and then, of course, the Patrick Ricard, who's the fullback, who can play wing back, H-back, all that kind
of
stuff.
He's a better athlete than I think he gets credit for. Made some plays for them last week against Tennessee. Right. John Harbaugh on the conference call actually told a story when he was asked about Ricard, and he said, yeah, you know, we had converted him. Wade Phillips, who was with the Rams at the time as the defensive coordinator, they're playing them a couple of days of joint practices, and then they had a preseason game 2 days later, Rams and Ravens. So Harbaugh overhears Phillips out on the practice field during the joint practices saying, oh, don't worry about covering him. He's a defensive lineman. Like, I don't even know if they had changed his number to 42 yet.
Right.
2 years ago. And so Harbaugh just stored that away in his memory bank. They get to the preseason game. They throw them two touchdown passes because they didn't cover them.
Right.
And Tennessee last week did the same thing. He leaks out into the flat. There's nobody with him. I think he caught three or four passes last week.
It's a thing. The guy's a player, and he brings a skill set you got to match up with, and that's what Baltimore has done. I don't think John Harbaugh's gotten enough credit for it. They have. I mean, you talk about going all in with a player, Lamar Jackson, and this is. And I'll tell you this too. That's why players like Lamar Jackson have not come along before, because there was an unwillingness in football circles and head coaching, GM circles, to go all in with a player with his skill set in order to, and trying to make him successful. And if he's successful, your team's going to be successful. And John Harbaugh said, well, let's do it. So they go all in from the wide receiver spots all the way in through the tight ends and the fullback and the offensive line. They are all in with this guy. They run the football. They have rushed for more yards in the last six games than six teams rushed for all season. They are all in with this guy. And they haven't gotten enough credit for it. And that and it's also a signal as to why it never happened before. It, you know, no, it's like, we're not going to throw these good skill position players to the curb and get guys in here who block at wide receiver rather than run routes. We're not going to do that. We're not going to get an offensive line to run the ball behind. We're not going to get two big offensive tackles to play tight end. And we're not going to get a 300-pound fullback. We're just not going to do it. It's embarrassing. We're not going to do it. Well, Harbaugh said,
screw it.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
And they were 14-2 last year, and they won a playoff game this year with this guy. And, by the way, he's the MVP. So the amount of effort and commitment it took from the Baltimore Ravens to make this happen for their team is also a signal as to why it hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
How much of a commitment it has been.
And it's, you gotta go with your – you got to stick with your gut, because that is an unconventional decision to make, and it's a seismic decision. It's a franchise-altering decision.
Fundamentally different decision, and you're right. I mean, now you know, all the way RG3 has to be their backup. Who else is going to be their backup? You know, what kind of quarterback
without
can you get?
Completely change the playbook.
Right.
So if Lamar gets hurt.
I mean, it is from top to bottom, and kudos to John Harbaugh and that entire organization for making it happen and being so successful doing it.
Yeah. Update on the head coaching front with the vacancies that exist in the NFL, seven of them to be exact. According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, all is quiet out of Jacksonville on the Urban Meyer front. But multiple people close to Meyer believe he will settle on the Jaguars if he does make the jump to the NFL. The Chargers are said to be interested in Meyer, but questions persist about whether they'd go all in on him. And Meyer has long been enamored with Trevor Lawrence. So the general consensus is it might take a little while, but that Meyer will end up in Jacksonville as the head coach. We'll see if there's any further developments on that. Break time for us, but when we come back, we'll try to get to more of your phone calls. And coming up in about 15 minutes time, we'll have CBS Sports' Evan Washburn joining us. He's based in Baltimore, even though he did the Bills-Colts game last week. He's got his ear to the ground on the Ravens. We'll chat with him in the third hour of the show. Back in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. This is Buffalo Bills Radio. Bills Live, that's the name of the show. Closing up hour number two here. Hour number three to come with Evan Washburn from CBS Sports to lead us off next hour. So let's get to a couple more calls here before we get there. To Ted in Georgia we go. Ted, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, gentlemen. I believe the biggest X factor will be the coordinators. Based on the weather, there most likely will be a field bias. And I'm sure that the players will have adjustments made to cleats and gloves and things like that. But as the game goes on and the conditions could change and the bias on the field could change, which coordinators see that, adjust to it, the quickest will give their team the biggest advantage.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And fortunately for the Bills, I know that Brian Daboll is a guy who wholeheartedly subscribes to making adjustments as you move along in a football game. So the offense is certainly equipped to adjust to that. And I know Leslie Frazier very often does the same. So how those coordinators operate on the other sideline remains to be seen. We don't know them quite as well. Wink Martindale is an aggressive play caller. I think that goes without saying, has been since he took the job there in Baltimore as the defensive play caller. How much does he change his spots? We'll see. I think he's going to stick to his guns and believe in what they do because it's been very successful for a pretty long time, and they're number two in points allowed.
Right. That it's defensively what they do. They'll make some calls, but what they do is and where defenses hinge in their success is their adjustment packages. Because you can say, I'm going to call this defense, but you know the offense comes out in a formation. You've got to adjust, and you've got to put your defensive call and overlay it onto what the offense is showing you. And if they do this or do that, you've got adjustment packages that you've got to go to. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole, but those defensive signals are crucial for an offense to figure out, which is why you've got, you know, a coach who will go on nameless videotaping teams' defensive signals. It's illegal to do because it's a crucial element in attacking that
defense.
That's
why you have advanced scouting where, you know, you got a scout in the press box taking notes, and he's got to write all that stuff down.
That's right. And you've got people that you want to record all the noise and chatter that come off the field if you can and get a handle on what they check to and why they check to this and what they're trying to stay away from. And all that information is crucial. So when the conditions become a factor like this, you can either say, Austin, I've got to use it to my advantage, or you can say, I've got to make the best of a bad situation. But it always plays to the advantage of the offense because the defense can't react as quickly as they normally would. And the offense doesn't have to react. They just have to get through their motions. And when the defense gets caught off guard and they plant hard or whatever, you got guys falling down all over the place. They can't adjust. They can't change direction like they would normally. And a defender always has to change direction harder and in a more violent way than the offensive player. And, you know, it all falls in favor of the offense when the conditions go bad, contrary to what most people think. So, you know, we'll just see.
I think a fascinating part of this game is going to be third down between Buffalo's offense and Baltimore's defense. Buffalo number one in the league in third down conversion rate. Baltimore number two in getting off the field on third down defensively. That is going to be a matching of wits like maybe we have not seen at all this season.
And it'll all depend, too, and it'll all be affected by, you know, the third and distance, third and whatever it is. If it's third and long, you know, obvious it changes things than whether it's third and one. That's a big difference maker. So it all runs together a little bit, but those crucial downs are still going to come up at any given time.
One thing I wanted to let our MSG viewers take a look at, and we'll describe this for our radio listeners as well, Football Outsiders recently put up their calculated odds to win the Super Bowl, and this is based on adjusted defensive value over average. And they feel pretty good about the Bills' odds through the wild card round to win the Super Bowl. So of the eight teams remaining, the only team with a higher odds, according to Football Outsiders and their number crunchers, are the Green Bay Packers at 26.2%. The Bills are right behind them on odds to win the Super Bowl at 22.1%. Kansas City right behind them at 19, followed by New Orleans, Tampa, Baltimore, the Rams, and Cleveland. Baltimore at 5.8%. Interesting. You know, we're all expecting this to be a super razor-thin close game. You look at the percentage difference here on winning the Super Bowl, and it's a pretty...
But here's the thing, and I get it. These numbers are crunched from previous games. The Colts, Bills haven't played. And this is...
After the wild card round.
Yeah, but this is a matchup game. If you take the strengths of the Bills and lay them on the Baltimore Ravens, it's not great for the Bills.
Yeah.
And vice versa.
Which is why a lot of us are as concerned as we are.
Right. So, yeah, while against everybody else, the Bills are doing pretty good. They haven't seen this team, and this team is different. This team's different than everybody else. Just like their quarterback is kind of a unicorn, so was their offense around him. So you don't know how the Bills can match up with that and be as effective as they have been against the rest of the league because this is such a unique franchise.
Yeah. And it's kind of silly because I think a lot of people are like, well, if we just get past this game, I feel really good about those odds. Well, yeah, you should, because now you're down to four teams and you got a 25% chance to win the thing anyway.
Right. Right.
It's only four of you left.
Yeah. But then, I don't even want to get.
Am I oversimplifying the math there?
Not.
Probably.
True. You get past these guys, then listen, I've said it a million times. I'll say it again. You forget. If the Bills manage to beat the Baltimore Ravens here this weekend, your reward for that win is an even bigger and more difficult game the next week. So just get your mind around that. Just focus on this one, and you can worry about the next one later, because this is going to be a battle this weekend.
Break time for us. When we return, CBS Sports sideline reporter Evan Washburn will join us, as he is Baltimore-based. He's got his ear to the ground on the Ravens. We'll ask him about that. And also, how well-equipped he feels this Bills team that he saw just last week as he was here along the sidelines for the Bills-Colts game, how prepared he thinks this crew is for the Ravens in the divisional round. Back with Evan Washburn in a moment here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.